Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It wasn't that long ago on an episode of Ask Amy Anything that one of the questions was, do you like surprises? And something about one of a recent surprise that you thought was really cool. Honestly, I had a hard time thinking of surprises, right? Even though a couple times over the last few years, the guys here have surprised me for my birthday and done something that I wasn't expecting. And my mom has outdone herself this year. It is now April 24th in most parts of the United States, and there are still boxes showing up on my doorstep. Every week, my mom seems to be sending a new birthday present. And I'm like, Mom, it's 2 weeks now, 3 weeks after my birthday. And yet, when I woke up on Monday, there was another box outside my door, and I got a new shirt, which you can't see. I don't know that I'm going to put a picture up on social media, but she sent me this new shirt from Calvin Klein, and she had told me about the shirt long time ago, going back to the winter, way before my birthday, and I guess she decided that it was the right time to send it 2.5 weeks after my birthday. But I like it. It's good. And so surprises there are. Also, surprise earlier in the show when our guest, Thurl Bailey, who's a former NBA forward, spent most of his career with the Utah Jazz. So he was calling us from Salt Lake City after game four between the Jazz and the Thunder. It was a surprise to find out that he and I share a birthday in early April. I think that was kind of my favorite thing about the night so far. I know it's the little things. And he was great to call us. I stopped myself from asking him the question that I like to ask all athletes from different eras, and that doesn't necessarily mean they're old, just they played in a different time, about the biggest differences between their time in whatever pro sport they played and where we are now in 2018. I don't want to overuse my question, so I asked that to all of our former athletes, and man, generally we get some really good answers, but this time I spared poor Thurl. He was in a good mood, though. He was very kind to us. If you missed that conversation, podcast, afterhoursamielawrence.com. That is the name of the show. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page, named after the show. We have a YouTube channel. We have all kinds of stuff out there on the interwebs. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Coming up in 15 minutes, a little QB news. And it will come along with an I told you so. Not all of you deserve it, but some of you deserve it. And actually, this is maybe mostly directed at fellow journalists who are still attempting to stir the pot. I'll explain coming up with our QB news in 15 minutes. So when I sat here last night, we were talking about the potential for game sevens. Now, in the NBA, the Eastern Conference, it's in the exact same spot that it was 24 hours ago when I was in this chair. So we still have the potential for a bunch of game sevens in the Eastern Conference, right? Because we've got Milwaukee at Boston on Tuesday. That's a game five with the series tied. And then on Wednesday, don't know why it's not till Wednesday, but on Wednesday we've got the Wizards back in Toronto against the Raptors and the Pacers on the road at Cleveland, and both of those series are knotted at 2. Now, of the three Western Conference series, yes, they're still alive, but they're all 3-1. So less likely that we'll get a game 7 there. Maybe Miami will rally back and will force a game 7 against the Sixers. However, our best hope for game 7s in the association will be those three Eastern Conference series that are tied going into their game 5. So that'll be kind of fun to watch play out over the next few days. We ended up with just won game seven in the first round of the Stanley Cup postseason. That'll come Wednesday. Ooh, Wednesday's going to be a doozy. Wednesday between the Bruins and the Maple Leafs. And some of you may remember what happened the last time they played in a game seven in the Stanley Cup postseason. If you don't, Google it. No, I'm just kidding. I'll remind you if you don't remember when we talk about that game seven. The other series, though, that had the potential in the East to go to a game seven actually wrapped up on Monday night. And leave it to Alex Ovechkin to elevate his level of play that was befitting of the occasion in D.C. because they really wanted to face the Penguins again in round two.
Caps work it to Warfink with a drive rebound. They score! It is Carlson, one-timer, shot, scores! Ovechkin times two with 1:37 to go in the second period. It's 3-1 Washington on a goal from Alex Ovechkin. And Wilson with a takedown and a puck into the empty net. They score! 13.9 to go, and it's 6-3 Washington.
The great John Walton on the Capitals radio network. So in Columbus, this is such a quirky series. They play game six in Columbus and the road team wins again. Do you know in the six games that the Blue Jackets and the Capitals played, the road team, the visiting team, won five of them. Now this one didn't go into sudden death, but we did have four of their games go into sudden death. And to add to the weird nerd alerts about the series, after going behind 0-2, so dropping their first two games at home, the Caps then rattle off four straight wins. Just odd. Everything about this series was odd. But once the Capitals got comfortable, and honestly, I mean, let's think about it for what it is, that game three overtime, talk about a relief. Maybe less pressure, maybe not playing quite so tight. There was so little margin for error. And they go into game three then, into sudden death. And this time they're in Columbus. And can you imagine what's happening in their locker room? Is there in that intermission, that short intermission between the end of the third period and the OT, and there have to be some of them thinking, man alive. I mean, this is where our entire season hangs in the balance. If we lose this game in sudden death, we're cooked. We're as good as done. But they win that game three in Columbus, and that was the start of four consecutive wins. And the goal that stands out to me from this game six, oh my goodness, it was perfectly played on a power play by the Capitals. John Carlson whips this pass over to Alex Ovechkin, who's set up where he's most comfortable. The pass literally hits the sweet spot of Ovechkin's stick, and boom, he scores just like that from the left side. At that point, it was his second goal on the power play, and he actually, among these two goals, I don't know which one it was. Please forgive me for not knowing this, but one of them was his 50th playoff goal. And then Braden Holtby had 35 saves, and so the Capitals look like they're in a groove now. However, they're running into the Penguins yet again. Again, I mean, I've used the word quirky and odd about the Capitals' start to the postseason, but here we go. Here's another one. The fact that they're about to run into the Penguins, who are the two-time defending Stanley Cup champs, and it's going to be the second round again. Now, this was one of the goals of the NHL when they amended their playoff format, was they were hoping that it would be more games between teams, more series between teams that had kind of a pre-established rivalry, and that they could kind of build on that in the playoffs. Well, we'll see if the Capitals can exorcise their demons here. We did a show not that long ago, actually, about playoff nemesis being the plural. And a lot of you mentioned the Penguins to the Capitals. So here they are, conference semifinals, second round against Pittsburgh. Knowing, of course, everybody knows, that the Penguins eliminated the Caps each of the past two seasons in this very same round. And so we didn't get a game seven there, but what we have coming up in the second round between Pittsburgh and Washington is pretty juicy, pretty good storyline there. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. David is listening in Maryland. David, welcome to After Hours.
Hi, Amy, first-time caller.
Great, thank you.
I'm just calling about Kathy's comments about Russell Westbrook.
Mm-hmm.
Great teammate. I think she's misunderstanding Russell's desire to win. Yes, he takes some bad shots at times, but who doesn't? That's not a great team, the Thunder are. I think they made a bad move when they brought in Carmelo Anthony. I love Carmelo, but I thought the team with Russell and Paul George and keeping Enes Kanter would have been a better squad than they have right now. I think guys that's going out to have two seasons of triple doubles, great teammate, but just on a bad team.
Yeah, I mean, bad team. That might be overstating a little bit. They did make the playoffs again. It's just that they didn't seem to have everybody on the same page. Now, during the regular season, there were times when they did, but it's a whole different animal in the playoffs. And that fourth quarter in game number two, I think it was, where they went 0 for 14, the three of them going 0 for 14. I mean, there's a lot of blame to go around there. And I would agree with you. Russ is extremely competitive. He's very passionate. He's definitely an alpha male. And yeah, there are plenty of guys in the NBA who take bad shots and who force it. That's part of being a shooter, is that you recognize you just got to keep shooting until you can get through it. And I think, honestly, he trusts himself more than he does anybody else. And that's maybe a product of what it's been like the last couple of seasons. Even when he had Kevin Durant there, I mean, there were times people complained about his shot selection, and yet the two of them really complimented each other. I don't think that the front office has done enough, and I don't know what the next step is. Who knows if Paul George stays? I mean, that's going to be one of their major questions about the offseason, and Carmelo Anthony has an option. I mean, I don't think it's his fault. I'm not even sure he had that much of an impact on the Thunder. Certainly not nearly as much impact as Paul George or Steven Adams or Russell Westbrook, but he does have a player option for almost $30 million, so I'd be surprised if he opted out of it.
He's not.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't. You get to play basketball for a living to the tune of $28 million, so why would you?
Yeah, he opts out of that. He won't be getting near that from any other team.
Yeah, and he may not need that. I mean, he's been paid a lot over the course of his career.
Right.
All right, sir. I appreciate your phone call. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
855-212-4227. That's our phone number, our toll-free line. And a lot of you weighing in on Twitter as well. So I want to get to some of your tweets, even though I don't agree with them. But I like the variety of responses about the Thunder, about Westbrook, some of you thinking back to the James Harden days, because, yeah, I mean, for those who don't remember, Harden was on that team with Westbrook and with Durant, though looking back, even though hindsight is 2020, it's obvious that there was no way the three of them likely were going to be able to coexist. And even Russ and Harden, I mean, Harden now is a point guard, but they both are better when they handle the ball a bunch. And so, yeah, it probably wasn't going to be a marriage or a relationship that was long for this world anyway. But it was brought to an abrupt end because Harden and the Thunder had different ideas about his future and his role, at least in what they knew and with the perspective that they had in the present. So, yes, A-Law Radio. We've also put up a spot on our Facebook page where you can weigh in. Love the picture of Russ. He's not wearing any crazy outfit, though. I mean, he's a fashion guru as well. He's got that. So, yeah, you can check it out on our Facebook page. And then coming up, we'll do our QB news and more of your calls after hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
It's almost time for the NFL draft, in which there will be a bunch of QB news. If I'm not mistaken, our CBS Sports Radio poll Our After Hours poll is still up. How many QBs will go in the top 10 of Thursday's first round? So you can check that out on our show Twitter. That's where all of our polls originate, at After Hours CBS. And I'm sure I retweeted it not that long ago. So you can check it out on my poll, too. That is our name of the show. We will be here Thursday night once the first round of the draft is over. Oh, you remember last year? It took forever. The first round seemed to drag on longer than a college football game, longer than one of those Red Sox-Yankees games that the commissioner of Major League Baseball can't stand because they ruin his pace of play statistics. So we'll see. What we do know is that the Cleveland Browns are in the market for a quarterback, but will they take one at number one overall? And if they do, who will it be? You're going to see and hear more and more of some of these top QB prospects over the next couple of days. And it was Sam Darnold's turn to make the rounds. He was on more of our shows here at CBS Sports Radio on Monday than he wasn't. He made multiple appearances, both in person and then on the phone. The DA show had the chance to ask him about being drafted by the Browns and that challenge and what that might look like and mean for him.
It's similar to what I did at SC. I mean, SC wasn't doing too hot when I got there. And then, yeah, they had a winning record, but it wasn't the success that SC is used to. And then I was able to, alongside really great teammates and coaches, I was able to kind of win some games, go to a Pac-12 championship, win a Rose Bowl. So it's been really fun. And, you know, I was able to handle that pressure that I had this last offseason and have a pretty solid year this last year. And just really looking forward to doing that again.
I like the fact that Sam did a bunch of interviews with his mom. I can't imagine doing interviews with my mom. She's the only person I know who talks more than I do. But his mom seemed very supportive, and so that was cute to see the two of them together. So Sam first on the DA show, and then a little bit later on CBS Sports Radio on Monday, he joined Tiki and Tierney. So again, he was asked about the challenge of being a starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. Let's face it, it's been a revolving door on the shores of Lake Erie. And honestly, a bunch of QBs that end up getting a shot with Cleveland, it just goes haywire. Something happens, they get hurt, or they kind of fall off the map a little bit, and then they might go somewhere else and have a resurgence to their career. But it just generally hasn't happened in Cleveland with QBs for quite a while. So if it's not Cleveland, then what? And would Sam be upset or feel slighted if he didn't go number one overall?
I won't be disappointed because I know that, you know, whatever team I go to, they want me for who I am and the player that I am. So I know that, you know, these GMs and these owners and, you know, the top executives for some of these teams in the front office, they have tough decisions to make. And if they don't feel 100% good on me and what I can do, then, you know, I don't want to go to that team. So I think whatever team ends up picking me is going to be the right fit.
Again, Sam Darnold making the rounds on Monday. CBS Sports Radio had him on the DA show. Then you hear him on Tiki and Tierney. He was also on with Bill Ryder and Ryder Than You all over the place. Good for him. This is the last few days until these questions are finally answered. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and also on Twitter, if you haven't seen the GIF that producer Thomas put up to indicate that we're doing some QB news about the draft, well, you need to check it out. I can't possibly explain it, not accurately anyway. All right, guys who are already in the league, that includes Jimmy Garoppolo. He has that humongous contract and job security, as much as you can have in the NFL, with the San Francisco 49ers. And we had talked to a member of the Bay Area media not that long ago, and he actually put the name Jimmy Garoppolo and Joe Montana in the same sentence and said, this guy's getting treated like he's Joe Montana. He's getting treated like not just the second coming, but the actual Montana before he has the success of Joe Montana. That's how excited the Niners are to have this guy and how excited the fans are thinking that this is it. They're going to be back among the elite in the NFL, and Jimmy Garoppolo is going to get them there. So here it is, the offseason. What's he doing to get ready? Has he found a place to live yet? Because that certainly is a really important question.
I don't think I'm technically a resident yet. I think there's some, okay, you know, stuff, yeah, that goes into it. But Yeah, currently looking for a place and everything. I'm starting to experience a little more of it. Went to my first Warriors game the other night to beat the Spurs. So, you know, slowly but surely we're getting there. And I, you know, I kind of enjoy that. You know, just it's everything's new to me up here. I've been in Southern California a couple times in the off season, but everything up here is pretty new. So, you know, getting up to the city, experiencing that. Love to get to a Sharks game soon. So there's a bunch of stuff going on. But, yeah, I mean, priority is football right now. But there's a little downtime this time of year.
That was me, by the way. That wasn't someone yelling at the press conference. Pretty excited to hear him invoke the Sharks, and he better hustle up. In fact, I feel like this would be the perfect time to get on board the bandwagon with the Sharks, considering their second round series is against the Vegas Golden Knights. Yeah, every time I say it, my stomach, I can feel a little like the tension. Yeah. The tension's building over that Stanley Cup playoff series. Thanks, Jimmy. All right, so Jimmy is not even technically a resident yet, but he's all the rage in the Bay Area. His former teammate, you know, the guy that he was supposed to replace in New England, is not retiring. Duh. I mean, I tried to tell you last week, all these stories about Tom Brady maybe not returning to play for the Patriots this year, all bunk. A whole bunch of drama stirred up for absolutely no reason. And I gave you the evidence. It wasn't just me and my opinion. It's not like I have Tom Brady on speed dial. It was because Brady himself had told us before the Super Bowl, yes, in fact, he is going to play next year. He said, you will see me in a Patriots uniform again next year. And he kind of laughed at the question when posed to him by Jim Gray on Westwood One. So what a surprise, not when his agent snuffed out all the rumors, the speculation that Brady was reconsidering his playing career by saying, yes, in fact, Brady will be playing next season and still wants to play into his mid-40s. Okay, can we stop having this conversation now? I told you so. All right, that's it. I'll only say it once. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. There is one more QB story that I want to work in a roundabout way. It's a QB story. But did you guys hear this? I love this kind of stuff. I'm a sucker for these kind of stories. Eagles guard Brandon Brooks. He's a Pro Bowler, but he restructured his contract. Why? Well, he converted some of his base salary to bonuses, lowered his cap hit, so that certainly helps the Eagles. But it's not all the Eagles that he wants to help. Nope. He has made it very clear to his franchise, very clear, you know, because tweets is how we communicate our wishes. Brandon said on Twitter, if you're wondering about the restructure, I get $4 million now, $4 million by September 1st with a couple hundred thousand over the season. All right, so that's the technical part. The reason I did it was because the bleeping Super Bowl MVP deserved more money. And then he includes Nick Foles in the tweet. Love you, bro. So Brandon Brooks restructured his contract for the express purpose of making sure that Nick Foles gets a raise. How fantastic is that? So now there is a new deal for Nick Foles, which includes a mutual option for 2019. Now, we had told you this before. Foles wasn't actually in the driver's seat, despite being the Super Bowl MVP, or in the words of Brooks, the bleep, bleep, bleep Super Bowl MVP, because he was still under contract with the Eagles for 2018. I think it was $4 million. But now there's a new deal. Doesn't void after the season. Instead, there's a mutual option for 2019, should all parties agree that this is still the right fit. I don't know if he'll be Super Bowl MVP again, but I do know that's a pretty nice card to have in your back pocket if Carson Wentz isn't ready to start the season. You've already got not just any old QB that the team is familiar with, but one they have extreme confidence in.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
There were so many feels for Russell Westbrook and Paul George and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Generally, I'm not into the gifts. It's not really my thing. Tom does a good job with them, usually on Twitter. But watching the game between the Thunder and the Jazz on Monday night, there were some incredibly appropriate gifts for Russell Westbrook. There was this one, please forgive me, I don't know where it came from. Maybe it's like some like amazing pop culture reference. But there was this one gif that I saw making the rounds on Twitter that was this, wasn't a baby, but a young boy who was playing a video game and had, you know, the joystick, had the console in his hand, but he was clearly losing, and he was throwing a temper tantrum almost silently. So he's like jerking the joystick. Is it still called a joystick? Probably not. Jerking the thing around. He was like all mad, and he's like going from angry to about to cry to just, he was having such a hard time with his emotions. And then, you know, of course, somebody had made the reference that this was Russell Westbrook playing against the Jazz on Monday night. So it was hysterical. And I kind of feel like pretty appropriate. Russ was out of control. Now, he plays along that line. He rides that fine line on the court when we're talking specifically basketball, between being out of control and about to run you over, and being perfectly in control. There's a very little space between the two, actually. They're not on opposite ends of the spectrum, at least not for Russell Westbrook. And so he rides that fine line, and generally he makes it work for him. I mean, hello, he just averaged a triple-double for the second straight season. This guy's a superstar. There's not a whole lot he can't do on the basketball court, but one of his weaknesses is that he gets so emotional. Angry. Now, generally, he can channel that anger and he can make it work for him. He's fierce. He's extremely competitive and he plays with this massive chip on his shoulder. But the chip on his shoulder worked to his detriment. And I don't even think it's really the Ricky Rubio thing. I don't have much problem with him saying that he was going to stop Rubio from having, in a manner of speaking, he was going to stop Ricky Rubio from having another triple-double. That doesn't bother me. Okay, so go out and stop him. And I guess Rubio didn't have triple-double, but the Utah Jazz got the last laugh. There are multiple highlights, I'm using my air quotations, of Russ grabbing people and just slinging them around. He completely lost control of his emotions, and that's not helpful for his team. Now, I don't know if they were going to win the series anyway, but it just felt to me like even after they got that lead in the first quarter, and even when they were playing well, that this was always in danger of just kind of boiling over and exploding. And it got so bad in the second half that felt like there were more technicals in the third quarter and the fourth quarter than there were like successful possessions for the Thunder. It was a mess. They were dissolving and it was a mess. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. And in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. You can get it all at geico.com. A lot of you are finding me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page, After Hours. With Amy Lawrence. It's still really early in the week, too. George says, all right, thanks for the reminder. That was extremely helpful. George says on Facebook, probably fire Billy Donovan and start over. They were up 3-1 on Golden State not many years ago. It was actually 2 years ago. It was 3 seasons ago. But that was kind of the beginning of the end there, right? At least the Thunder, that group that together had gotten to 4 out of 6 conference finals. Kevin Durant left right after that series. Kel says the same thing on Facebook, start with the coaching. Eric says, try to get Russell to be more of a team player and not so much chasing triple doubles. He'll be remembered for them, but at the same time, he'll be the reason they fail if he doesn't get over his Jordan type attitude. Now, here's the deal. Putting Russell Westbrook and Michael Jordan in the same sentence is not a bad thing, actually. I think that I would be honored by that comparison. Russell Westbrook, there's so much that I could say here. Russell Westbrook has needed to be the man, and I don't think he's chasing triple doubles as much as he's just trying to chase wins. And at times, he trusts himself more than he trusts anybody else. And that's a problem. I mean, that's the issue. When you've been the man and you've been the closer and the stopper and the best option and the only option for a time, well, then it's hard to kind of get out of that. Now, it seemed like the Thunder were successful in stretches this year. You know, there was some transition time that looked kind of ugly. But when they put the ball back in Russ's hands and he was facilitating and he had people to go to, like Paul George, like Carmelo Anthony, even Corey Brewer now and then would get hot and hit a few threes. And certainly Steven Adams is a brute in the paint. Their chemistry is not great.
We all can't be Michael Jordan.
And still the leadership to me is lacking a bit. So Russell Westbrook is the best player on the team. And he leads by example in terms of being super competitive and in terms of being that alpha male. Who's that voice that calms them down? Let's see. Mike on Facebook, invest some real money in free agency, build a team that can compete. Paul George was not and is not the answer. Player development is key also. Richard says, goodbye, Mello. Get a much better three-point shooter. So, yeah, the suggestions on Facebook run the gamut, and they do so on Twitter as well, A-Law Radio. I'll get to those, but I want to talk to Nate, who's in Baltimore, and wanted to weigh in on hoops. Nate, welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
How you doing, Amy? First thing I want to say is I love my Baltimore Ravens, but I'm also a huge fan of the Cleveland Cavaliers. And LeBron James, the series with the Pacers, I've been trying to hate what's his name, Lance Stevenson. But I can't because this guy is so tough, so hardcore, and he gives LeBron fits. And I said, we're trying to hate this guy, but I can't do it.
I feel like that's what people say to me, Nate. I've been trying to hate you, and I just can't do it.
I know he's so tough, so hardcore, and I'm a huge Cavalier fan. Game four, when he grabbed the Green, the Cavaliers player, forget his
Jeff,
first name.
Jeff.
Yeah, Green, and he wrestled him to the floor. I'm going, this guy is out. It's insane.
Yeah, he is a little bit nutso. I mean, you gotta be that, and he has great confidence in himself, and as you say, he plays hard nosed basketball.
Yes, he does.
This is a guy who is taking no prisoners. I mean, he's all about making you wake up the next morning and feel every bit of your sore muscles.
Exactly. I can say I hate him and I love him all at the same time.
Well, you can dislike him as a fan of the Cavs, but you certainly have to respect him.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
I would agree with that. And you know what else, Nate? He and LeBron have a history. So Lance recognizes that there are ways he's gotten to LeBron in the past.
Right.
Whispering in his ear, talking smack to him. LeBron's like, who the heck are you? I am LeBron James. Who are you? And so he gets to him. It's worked in the past, which is why Lance keeps trying.
Yeah, he does rattle LeBron a little bit. They try to play at all, but he don't, but he does.
Oh, he does. No, the fact that LeBron addresses him and, like, gives him the forearm shiver, get off me, man, I mean, that is an indicator that he does get under LeBron's skin just a little bit.
Yes, he does. And what surprised me was hearing that he worked out for the Cavaliers at one time, Stevenson did.
Well, I guess if you can't beat him, join him, right? I mean, if you...
Like Durant did with Golden State.
Yeah.
All right, Amy. Have a great day.
Thanks, Nate. I appreciate the call from Baltimore. Yeah, no, Lance is he's the basketball version of a troll. And he's willing to play that role, man. He doesn't mind. He doesn't mind being the instigator. He doesn't mind if he looks a little foolish. In fact, he knows. He knows that he's got this special talent for getting under your skin and annoying the crap out of you. And so he does it. And every now and then it works with LeBron. Now, I don't know that it gets LeBron out of his game, not for long. And maybe in the end it serves to motivate him even more. But, yeah, Lance Stevenson has had success in the past with it, just being annoying. And he's also extremely physical. It'd be different if he was just a goof. Let's say he was just a caricature and all he was doing out there was whispering in LeBron's ear. Well, then that wouldn't be respectable, but he also plays extremely hard and he's very physical. And while they don't have enforcers anymore in the NBA, Lance Stephenson maybe is the closest thing out there. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Let's see some of your tweets about the Thunder. A-Law Radio. Derek says it's time OKC considers trading Russ. Not going to happen. Absolutely not going to happen. The franchise is still reeling from what happened to Kevin Durant. There is absolutely no way. They just gave him one of the fattest contracts in NBA history. And while they did give him some built-in opt-outs, the fact is that they want him to stay there forever. They want him to be a guy that retires with the Thunder and doesn't go anywhere else. I mean, they want to build around him, just haven't been able to do it yet. Anyway, Derek goes on to say, Kawhi for Russ. I'm just going to leave that right there. No, just also a no. Let's see. Bud would think they should move back to Seattle. I don't know that that fixes anything. Trey says OKC might have a couple championships had they made Harden a feature player with Russ and KD. Management opted instead to re-sign Serge Ibaka. Well, I mean, they opted to re-sign Serge Ibaka, but Harden and Serge were not in the same category, and they knew it. They weren't going to be able to pay all three of those guys, and Harden wanted to be the number one option. So they were kind of giving him what he wanted, but also seeing the writing on the wall down the road that there was no way that the three of them under that salary cap at the time that they would be able to keep them all happy. So they're kind of heading it off the pass. 1 hour to go. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.